I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Most of us have heard the expression that content is king. Well, Eric Bjondegaard, who is the CEO of Spark Compass, maintains that in IoT, context is king. In this interview, you'll get to hear him talk about how his company is approaching this problem area and the results that he's got with some specific customers. Hope you enjoy watching. If you don't have time to watch, listen to us on iTunes. Thanks very much for making time to talk with us, Eric. Eric Bjondegaard, CEO of Spark Compass. We are in what I think is probably the most glamorous home office in the world. And we're going to talk about contextual communications. That's what it's going to be all about. So I want to hear a bit about what Spark Compass does. You're one of the people that's pioneered this space. So let's get into what context is. In the context of location, contextual communications. And then I want to hear a bit about some of your customers. But tell us a bit about where we are. What is this place? We're in San Diego.
Indeed. Yeah, this is a historic estate. It's rather remarkable, isn't it? So this is the historic Rosecroft estate. We've been blessed to be here for about a year now. We're hoping to continue to be here for a much longer time. It's a historic estate where we have the ability to test out our idea of bridging the physical with the digital. And yes, it's easy to do that in a modern building and something you build from scratch. Harder when you do it in an old historic home where you really can't change the infrastructure.
And this is like the largest private residence in San Diego, which has some fairly large private residences. And it's the place where Reagan launched his gubernatorial campaign.
That's right. So we had Ronald Reagan started his career here. We have President Carter's been here. I don't know if you can see the table behind me, but Robert Mondavi started his and planned his vineyards on this very table. Dr. Seuss was reputed to have been here frequently. So maybe this is where he started his I like green eggs and ham.
And this is the headquarters for your company, Spark Compass. Tell us, what does Spark Compass do?
Yeah, so Spark Compass, we have invented what we call a contextually intelligent communication platform, which means that we have the ability to understand context, i.e. who, what, where, like location, also we're going to talk about, but also activity. And so if we can have an understanding of what that context is, how can we enhance that experience? In this context, this building where we're at, we have a commercial kitchen. Right, so can we create an experience around cooking? We have a living home; people live here. So how can we enhance a smart home? We have a fitness gym. How can we create an experience around fitness? We have historic gardens. So how can we verify that the trees that are here, the historic trees, are getting enough water? We have a solar power plant, basically. How can we verify the distribution of electricity? And how can this all be tied into one common platform that can make our lives easier and our lives better? And that's contextual intelligence communication.
That's a great overview of it. And we'll get into more details in a bit. And in many ways, Spark Compass and building this platform is like the culmination of pretty interesting career. You started off, you've been a rocket scientist, you're a serial entrepreneur, you've been in the retail business, the real estate business, and our paths crossed at Qualcomm, right?
Indeed.
And you were an advisor to the C-suite there on some of the technologies, basically the seeds of contextual technology. And you worked in R&D, so you were like one of the business people in R&D, which is just like $5 billion of spending on cool stuff, and you get to basically plant those seeds and do the deals. So you did some of the early deals of augmented reality and so forth. And it seems like a lot of those things have kind of come back into this platform. So tell us a little bit more about what some of the components are in your platform. And there's beacons there. It's the Mr. Beacon podcast. But that's just one part of it.
Sure. And as you mentioned, there's a lot of different components there. But it's really interesting by being able to be platform first and look at how can we include all these different components in a common platform. And rather than trying to be all encompassing, we're all integrating. So whether it's a sensor on a device, the sensors on the phones, obviously the phones these days are more powerful than the computers we had on the space shuttle. Mm-hmm. So it's remarkable, right? But then if you can take those sensors and understand context on the device, edge computing, fog computing, whatever you want to call it, and if that could be part of a common platform where this platform has the ability to take the sensor input on this device, but also sensor input from other devices that are connected to the same system. And if we can then combine the knowledge of the activity, the end user, the location, and create this universe of knowledge, then we augment intelligence. So our AI is not artificial intelligence. Our AI is augmented intelligence.
Mm-hmm. And you got these inputs that include location. And is what you're selling, it's a software platform, so I have APIs, I have dashboards, reports.
Great.
And I think in the early days, you were also developing applications. How is that changing now? What's your approach to partnering, and where are you focusing, and where are you trying to get other people to focus around you?
Well, that's a really good, interesting aspect, because things have evolved, right? In the older days, we had to build everything because it was so early. We had to show. And that was very important for us. We needed to show that this works in healthcare, it works in retail, it works in convention center, it works in universities, it works in airports. So our company built everything from A to Z. But in the process, we were always a platform company. So around the platform, we built an SDK, which enables us now to scale with our channel partners. Mm-hmm. And we have some big channel partners that are now leveraging our platform, our SDK, platform as a service solution, to integrate with their solutions that they provide to their clients. So now all of a sudden, we have the ability to scale much more rapidly than if we were trying to do everything ourselves, which we still can.
Sure.
But
who are the SIs that you're working with?
So they're pretty big, Atos being one. There's going to be some announcements around that.
How big are Atos?
119,000 people, $17 billion a year. They're the exclusive provider of IT services for the Olympics. So this is exciting, right? When they see the value of what we do around fan engagement, what we do in stadium enhancements, and all of a sudden, it's not just a stadium, it becomes a host city, which is a perfect segue into another thing that they do and we do as well, which is smart cities. We also work closely with another system integrator called CGI. It's a Canadian global company, but Canadian based. I think they have about 65,000 employees, 400 offices around the world, and another fan of the Spark Compass platform. Going to be one of our first, if not the first, certified Spark Compass reseller and integrator.
And then lastly, tell us a bit about some of the technology partners that you're working with.
So we're blessed in that we have shown that this platform works across multiple platforms. So we're frequently endorsed and introduced by companies like Qualcomm. Qualcomm introduced us to Samsung. We're blessed to have a series of relationships with them. We built some solutions for them. We were featured by Samsung in their world at CES this year. We also have the ability to integrate all the technologies. So Samsung on one side and then Apple on the other side, and typically they don't necessarily speak too much, but we're Switzerland in this space. So we integrate Apple's technologies as well as Samsung's technologies, and with the objective that our clients, such as San Diego International Airport, or the end user, has a seamless experience. It's all about the end user.
Well, I think it's so fascinating about how you've tackled this market, and I don't know how much of it was planned and how much just happened organically, but you know, our audience are solution designers and entrepreneurs, and so I think it's really interesting to kind of tweeze out a couple of things, and then we'll move on to what your customers are doing. So you started off doing like everything, and that's fairly typical for kind of innovative technology companies. People want a solution. They don't want just a context platform. And if you look at like Qualcomm, they started off doing the whole thing. They made phones and everything, and then they kind of lasered in. And so it seems like you've done that, but you're also able to work with some very big companies because they need solutions. They need someone who's going to listen and pull the pieces together. And you've used that. You're kind of resting on the shoulders of some pretty big companies.
And that's the key. And you know, it's interesting. We both were at Qualcomm, great company. And we learned a lot there, right?
Yes.
And they certainly were paved the path forward on how to create something new out of nothing. And that's really what we're trying to do here. How can we create this new infrastructure? So yes, you have to show it. You have to lead the way. And we're strong believers in showing is much more efficient than talking. And so we did a lot of showing in the early days, and that resonates. Because now all of a sudden when you go into a meeting and you talk about all these interactions that you're going to do, and you can say that, well, we're approved by a U.S. Department of Transportation, FAA, Homeland Security, and we have an active installation at the international airport, that resonates. Because now all of a sudden it's not just talk. Right?
Well, I do want to get on to who's using the technology, what they're using it for, but just last point is, I don't see any developers around here. Where's your development done?
Well, so there's another component, which is what we talk about, and we like to do what we preach, and that is that we're mobile first, and we're global. So we have a development team in here in San Diego, Tijuana of all places, which is a fantastic hub, very efficient. So we're near shore a lot of our developments. We have people in London. We have people in New Zealand. Our chief platform architect is from New Zealand. So now all of a sudden, the idea that we are global first is not only a word, but it's true. And kind of a little funny thing. I thought it was a really good idea to have the ability to have a workforce 24 hours, which we now have because we're spread around the globe, which means I don't sleep.
So that's the only downside.
That's the only problem, right?
And you spend a lot of time on planes, which is probably a good segue to one of your first customers. Can you talk a bit about what you've done with San Diego Airport? We had Rick Belliotti was an early guest, and so actually your app was one of the things that we looked at. Can you tell us what you're doing for the airport?
Yeah, so the airport is a great environment because it really kind of is a city of itself, right? You have travelers, you have those that work there, you have those that make a living there, and you have a lot of people coming through. So it's a small cosmo of activity. The first objective was to work with the enhancing the passenger journey, right? That's what you probably talked with Rick about, and that's the way you go. Now, we wanted to create a solution that worked at the airport. And so we have an infrastructure there, beacons across the facilities.
But it was those, also, are those like gimbal beacons?
They're gimbal beacons, yes. At the time, they were the premier secure beacons, and certainly people are catching up with them. But they were obviously very good. So we built a platform around their secure environments, the secure beacons. But the idea was that this needed to be a multi-tenant platform. So we didn't use a gimbal platform as such, but it enables the airport and ourselves, we have a managing contract with them as well, to enhance the journey. Not only at the airport, but from your home to the airport, we integrate with a series of different systems at the infrastructure at the airport to drive that traveler behavior, that traveler journey, and enhancing it.
So what are the systems you have to integrate with at
so,
the airport?
So one is parking, right? Because that's one of the things. So how do we drive you to the right parking spot? That's important for the airport. So we integrate that on before you arrive at the airport. We've integrated with a tracking system on the shuttle buses that take you from the parking lots to the terminal, which gives you in your one common app indication of where the shuttle bus is.
Oh, so you're waiting for the shuttle bus and you can find it, that out from the app?
No, inside our app. Inside the app, yes, you can see exactly where they are, how long it's going to take them to get to your destination, and how long it's going to take you to get to your destination.
So that's useful.
Right. That's a key. And then once you're in the terminal, we've integrated, and we were the first to launch Apple's indoor navigation systems on both platforms. So you have an indoor navigation. So you can identify where your flight is. You log that in. We are directly connected with the flight control systems at the airport.
So the Is that like CETA?
Correct. Yeah. So, so their back-end system that identifies the flight versus the gates. So, so that's also in the app. Again, one app. Navigates, and then we have the information about where you are and then also what's around you. All beacons, all location services.
So this is interesting. You're using beacons, but actually Apple's indoor navigation doesn't use beacons. So how, why the beacons, and so, how do you integrate with Apple?
So that the use cases are different, right, in the way that we're thinking. So navigation is great, then we leverage what's best for navigation. For proximity, and what are the experiences that you're delivered based on your exact location, and the ability to determine what's around you, the discovery mode of what's around you, is what's driven by the beacons. We'll come back to the beacons when we talk about our operational aspect as well. But let's continue with the beacons as we are related to the traveler. So the traveler now has the ability to discover what's around them, and that's beacon-driven because we can locate them, and then we can also see what experiences do we trigger around those specific locations.
So with a beacon, you can trigger something that pops up in the app, even if the app's in the background,
exactly.
Whereas the indoor navigation is like, where's gate 37?
Exactly. So that's a, more like an active search.
Foreground.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And the beacon is delivering more contextual relevant information as you walk around.
I think that's a very important distinction, because people kind of get into the, oh, it's snow, beacons are not useful because we have Apple's indoor navigation, but really they're just tools in the toolbox.
That's exactly it. And so now we take the beacons one step further, because we built something what we call Go Tags. So these are luggage trackers. Mm-hmm. Now, they don't necessarily have any benefit while you're on San Diego Airport departing. But say now, which I frequently do, is to fly from San Diego to London and then onwards to either Barcelona or Amsterdam or Oslo. Nothing happens when I arrive at Heathrow. But when I arrive at my final destination, I can peacefully fight the Norwegians for the duty-free, which we do at Oslo Airport. Anybody that's been to Oslo knows that the Norwegians are crazy about the duty-free.
Which is your home country.
Indeed, so, so that's why I can say
this. A little bit of a jab at these are your people.
Indeed, indeed.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But I can do that without the panic mode because my phone will alert me when my luggage has arrived.
Ah, so even though there's like this scrum around where the bags are popping out, you actually can, you have kind of virtual x-ray specs and you can see your bag coming off the conveyor.
So that's kind of useful, right?
And this is the San Diego app. But it's actually working in another country at another airport.
That's right. So right now we have 8,418 airports in the system, which is obviously another key component for the platform, which is data. We'll come back to that later. But the idea around understanding the activity of the end user,
And remind people what the app's called.
Away You Go.
Away You Go app.
Okay. And the Go tags.
Deliberately not branded San Diego, even though it was born there, because the idea is it scales over other airports.
And this is one thing that's very important, which Rick and I were working very hard on, and that is to ensure that this is a multi-tenant platform, and this is a system that can now translate to other airports. So we're currently talking to about 52 airports around the world around this kind of system that can integrate with API calls with the airlines, can integrate with their local residents and their needs, whether it's a city management or if it's a hotel or convention center or a sports team. All of those can now have an access to this infrastructure that is at the airport, often the port of landing.
We're talking about Rick, and just to explain to people, so Rick Bailiotti, who's effectively the CTO of the airport, but he's also in charge of small business, and he's also
innovation.
In charge of innovation, so they have an innovation lab. You're helping him. He's servicing the needs of the passengers at the airport, but you're actually helping him to build a business around what he's doing and taking it to other airports.
Absolutely, and that's actually what we have a contract about. So this is a really cool contract, and this is part of the way that we built our business. It's not necessarily initial clients, but it's partners. So we have a partnership where we collectively will go out and present this to others, similar to what we've done with Ole Miss and others as well.
Gosh, we've got to get through this quickly. There's so much to talk about. Just briefly tell us what you're doing on the enterprise side at the airport.
Oh, yes, that's right. So the IT staff, and this is very important around context and relevant communication. The IT staff has a responsibility to keep the operations running. So say now that gate 32, the scanner has gone down. Typically, in the past, the gate agent would then call IT department. IT department dispatch person would go through her list of people who's on duty and call their cell phones to try to find somebody to come and help on the problem of gate 32. Now, the IT staff has Samsung Gear S3 watches that are connected with our platform via our GPS and beacon location systems across the airport. We know exactly where the staff members are while they're on premises. So our system will then dispatch and send a message directly to the wrist of the IT staff member who's closest to gate 32. That person can now say, via the wrist of the watch, a twist on the watch, say, yes, I can accept this task or not. If they say no, it will automatically dispatch to the second closest person. Whoever says yes first will say, it'll take me 5 minutes to get there. That message is then transmitted to the gate agent so they know help is on the way. Very important in a stressful situation. When that person arrives, the IT staff member arrives on the premise, we know that they are at gate 32. So now that goes in as a time log in our platform. Our platform is an action event-based system, so each event is recorded with a timestamp, who, where, when, what happened before and what happened after. That information goes into their legacy tracking system that is used for the operations. And then the cool part is this. You can actually speak to the watch. That's transcribed on the watch, sent as a text file to our system, and that is filed as a report on what the problem was live into the system.
I love it.
Efficiency is phenomenal.
Yeah. So, I mean, as we look at, we start off with this cool technology, beacons, what can it possibly do, smart watches. Okay, it's a toy. But I think as entrepreneurs, we have to constantly say, what's in it for me? Where's the money? What's the ROI? And I think you've described something that is compelling and actually works across a whole bunch of different venues where you have service staff who are trying to, we need to optimize their time. People are expensive. Who should we send? If we can send the right person to the right place at the right time, then that's going to allow you to scale with fewer people, save cost, happier customers.
Absolutely.
Love it.
Absolutely. Now, so little segue, quick segue there to America's Cup.
All right.
Because, so one of the things that we learned at the America's Cup, we can talk about what we did there, but one of the things which is a problem in a public environment is how can we get safety, security officers to an incident, right? Typically you have, especially in a big event like America's Cup where security and safety is important, anti-terrorism and so forth. The command center can see on video cameras where people are and they can see incidents and they can talk in the traditional way with the radio. But when there's a concert and it's noisy, it's difficult for the staff on the ground to answer or hear what the problem is. Mm-hmm. So this is a common problem. So what we built is a contextual intelligence surveillance enhancement, situational awareness. So now the control center can see where their staff members are on a dashboard and can direct information directly to the person who's closest to the incident. Same thing.
Very good. Cool. So what else have you done on the America's Cup? You got the T-shirt.
Yes,
you got
the I'm very proud of this. Yeah. Yeah, I know. So I'm a sailor, right? Yeah. So this is fun. America's Cup came to us and said, we want to create an enhanced experience, not only for the village. They built a village. They built an island, a brand new island. That was a village, and we had beacons across the whole island.
Where is this?
In Bermuda.
Okay.
So it's actually an island in Bermuda. So it was a tough gig, yeah, indeed. And Spark Compass platform was generated and created the experience across the whole island. Geofences, beacons, we even had some physical web beacons. We drove behavior. We had interactive displays in restrooms of all places. So this journey that we're talking about, the journey from the moment you land on the island at the airport, all the way through your hotel, all the hotels had our systems, to the venue at the races, we now delivered contextual relevant information.
So what was the information and the displays in the hotel, and what was the information in the bathroom?
Well, so the bathroom is interesting, right? So there's another partner of ours, and these are digital displays that are attached to faucets. Yeah. Interesting use case, because now I can verify who's washing their hands. Can you imagine where that could be useful?
Yeah.
In hospitals, right?
Yeah.
So we're very excited about this partnership. But in this instance, they were driving advertisements.
So how do you know who's washing their hands?
Well, if they have their app. If they have our ad.
Okay. So right. Proximity, the phone's proximate to the basin.
Yes, indeed. So now that's crazy experience, right? But the idea in this instance was, if we can ensure and verify that they are in the restaurant, did we drive them there? Did the messaging that we send them.
Attribution.
Right. So now that
you send a promotion and then you know whether they actually acted on it.
Amen. Is that cool? Right, and that can be then the entry point into a beacon deployment. That doesn't need a beacon deployment everywhere, but if somebody's in the restroom, it's a big assumption that they're actually in the venue.
And how do you do the deployment at something that large? I mean, that's a pretty big event. There's a lot of work to be done on
the
ground.
So with America's Cup, we were lucky in that we had a very deep partnership with the organization. They were actually the ones that managed it with us. Yeah. We had some people on staff that were at the venue, which was okay, it was tough, right? Bermuda. And then, of course, the screens are already there, the video screens in the restrooms were already there, so that's through one of our channel partners, which enables us to do that. On the venue, in the village, we drove highly relevant information to the point where when the winner of a race was announced and was clear, that immediately popped a message to the phones on those that were there relevant to that win.
Okay, so the results of the race get displayed on the phones. Was there an America's Cup app?
Yes. Okay. Now, so that the results were obvious, but then how did we enhance that experience? So if that was go to the Swedish campus and get some waffles, mm-hmm. because we won. Right?
All right.
Those kind of things.
And the Swedes won, did they?
No, they didn't.
Oh.
So that was my job. I'm Norwegian, so it's highly hypothetical.
So there's a little bit of an adversarial thing going on there?
Yes, indeed.
Some history. Okay, and lastly on that, and then we're going to talk about Ole Miss, the physical web beacons. So these are beacons that are broadcasting a URL, so you don't need an app. What were they doing?
So again, we always say, what's in it for me? Why would I open this? What would be the interest? Why would we convert somebody to do an action? So yes, it was an alert, as a notification that said, press here to learn more about the events, right? We know that there's an interest because you're on their village. The intent was to get you to download the app, or at least get your information, the end user's information. So there's two components. One was enter for more information or enter here to win a prize, right? That came to one of our landing pages,
okay.
which had a form to enter a contest or download the app to get more information. Part of the value proposition in entering the contest was that you had to give some information, naturally, so that you can win the prize. And part of that process was an encouragement again to download the app.
So it's like bootstrapping people in. You don't have the app, you have the URL, there's a reason for going there, and then you get... So how many people downloaded the app?
I'm not allowed to share that, unfortunately. But I can share that hundreds of thousands of downloads of the app, the America's Cup app. The interesting aspect is that we're all hitting our servers, and of course, no problems. And this is exciting, right? Because you can have massive traffic, you can get massive data, highly local data, but also global. So the viewpoint that we provided for the organization was powerful.
So Ole Miss, Don Rayner, our video production guy, is from Mississippi. So we can't end the show without talking about what you did for Ole Miss.
Yes, indeed. The Rebels. So this is a question, or this is a concern that came to me and asked me about. We have no problem filling the stadium when the boys are playing football. But when the girls are playing real football, soccer, nobody comes to watch. How can you help us? So I said, oh, that's easy. We can create a rewards program. And so we created what's called Rebels Rewards. Rebel Rewards program, in the first year of deployment, we increased attendance by 21% across all sports. So this is a reward system. We have beacons across all the sporting venues, across Oxford campus, University of Mississippi, Ole Miss. And the ability to now deliver encouragements to go to a game. That encouragement comes with points. And if you go to the game, to that location, during game time, you get points. Now, there's a clear description of what the points will give you. And when you get 100 points, you get a T-shirt, whatever it might be. That's clearly defined. So there's a encouragement. There's a relevant message that's being delivered. And there's an automatic reward.
And the beacons are verifying you actually did attend there. People can't game the system somehow.
That's right. And there's multiple beacons. So there's multiple beacons at each location so that we can actually then look more about behavior across the venue. Right.
So
traffic flows. Mm-hmm. We have, and so this is exciting, right? Because now talking about success or adaptation. Out of a student population of 24,000, we have 26,000 downloads. So more than the students are using the system.
Nice.
That's cool, right?
That is. And it's not trivial to get that. I mean, people assume you build it and people will come. Not true.
That's right. And here's the important part. People are using it year after year after year. People are redeeming their prices. Mm-hmm. And we have beacons that are hitting, this is kind of, I think, a big number, 40,000 pings an hour at one location. So that's enormous traffic, right? And that data, that ability to verify that people are right there at that place, at that time, at that moment, big results.
So, and whose beacons are you using for that?
That's Gimbal again.
All right.
It's exciting. And this is what they just did last game. They gave another 100 points for students that stayed to the end of the game. Intelligent use of the system.
Right.
Right.
Stop people peeling off two-thirds of the way through.
Or at halftime going into home.
Yeah. Interesting. Fascinating. Well, I think you really do epitomize the solution designers that we aim to serve with this podcast. You've got huge creativity and tenacity. This is a tough business.
It is. It's been an interesting ride, right? Yeah. It's never a dull moment. We call it exciting times. Yeah. But we're onto something, right? Because we're starting to bridge the gap between the physical and the digital. And as we look at that, and we look at beacons as a component in that, then the journey gets really exciting.
It does. Okay, Eric Bjørndegard, CEO, Spark Compass. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Awesome.
So normally I ask people what music they'd take on a trip to Mars, but you're a sailor, so let's say you're sailing around the world. What are the first three songs that you would take on that trip to listen to?
My goodness, that's a good question. Well, we're in California. Hotel California is a must, right? It's an epic song. Eagles.
And you're a visitor, like we're both visitors.
Right, right.
We decided we wanted to
So we're
there.
So blessed to be here, right? Yeah. I mean, this is the best place in the world. So Hotel California is a must. And what's life all about? Love. So all you need is love from Beatles, right? One of the, look at this, I had goosebumps, right? So that's one of the classics, right? And then thinking about all those people that are important in my life, All About Me or All About You, John Legend, the beautiful love song that brings back my memories of my sweetheart and my voice. And Matt Cole.
Perfect. Mark, right, thanks for sharing that.
All right, cool.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.